Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening. My name is Sky Dickinson, and I'm welcoming you to episode 2 of season 3 of my show, The California Sports Report. It's taken on a few different forms over the years since January of 2013. We are now on Wednesday, March 11th, 2015, ready to kick off a huge show. We got some good responses following week 1. We are dealing entirely in hypothetical currency units, completely invisible, unsubstantiated currency, other than as far as it goes towards determining our sports knowledge and our reputations for being able to predict the future. I'll be joined by Lindell French and Keegan McNamara, as always, so let's get right to it, folks. Here we go. We took some short hiatuses in 2014. I had a child. She's doing amazing. She's already a big sports fan herself. I'll tell you right up top, and we're going to touch upon this team later on in the show, I'm not going to be raising my daughter as a 49er fan because I am just so disenchanted with what is going on, especially at the top, with the brass, with ownership, and the GM. Lindell and I have talked a lot about this in the last week. It is a different franchise. I'm going to say publicly, I think it's time for them to change their name to the Santa Clara 49ers so as to create a clear distinction between one of the greatest franchises in sports history and what is happening currently. But let me not waste too much time. This new format has us weighing in on a variety of essentially bets, but there's no money, no currency, anything like that. I actually exchanging hands. It's all completely hypothetical. Quick recap of last week, much like a sitcom might do to bring you up to speed. Keegan was the winner, okay? He ended up, we each began the week with 1,000 hypothetical currency units. I lost all 1,000. Lindell lost 600 of them, and Keegan managed to grow his net hypothetical worth by 413 units. So we will be refilled. I'll be refilled with a new 1,000 to play ball with, knowing that I'm down 1,000 already on the year. Lindell has been given an additional 600 to bring him up to 1,000. He's down 600. Like I said, Keegan's up 413. The only rules is you have to put at least 1,000 on the line every single week. So I think we've covered all the bases we need to cover there, and let's get right to it. 7 topics to discuss in a show with only 27 minutes left. Let's go. I'm throwing it to Charlotte, North Carolina. Lindell French, how are you this evening, my man?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. I love March, man, and I love these conference tourney week. This is one of my favorites. Been excited. There's already been USC snuck up and bit Arizona State. First time a number 12 seed has won a game in the Pac-12 tournament. So the excitement is already palpable. I love it.
It is. You had some harsh words. This episode is officially rated a PG-13, so as to appeal to a wider range of audiences. But you had some harsh words for DirecTV and the Pac-12 network regarding their inability to come to terms and do what's right for the common fan. For what it's worth, I have AT&T, and they're unable to do so as well. So it's kind of a joke where you are.
It's tragic.
It's less of a crime.
It's tragic out here because
it's tragic. No, I'm on board.
Because every 90% of sports bars, not to mention just people in general, seem to have DirecTV. And the fact that it's been 3 years, it's one thing for a year to go a year, but 3 years and they haven't been able to hammer out a deal between DirecTV and the Pac-12 network, it's disgraceful. And it's a sad state of affairs, and it's bad for DirecTV, it's bad for the Pac-12 network, it's bad for the Pac-12 conference. I mean, somebody should take control of this and just hammer it out, because it's very hard to find, especially if they're going to be showing these games, the tournament games, at least the early rounds, on the Pac-12 network.
I agreed. Couldn't agree more. It's especially a crime out here in California, in Pac-12 land. All right, let's go down to San Diego now. One of the nicer, more paradise-like regions of California and North America, for that matter, where Keegan McNamara resides, and he takes in basketball on a daily basis to add to his growing library of knowledge. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing excellent. Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
All right, buddy. Let's get right to it. I'm going to throw it to you. We're going Pac-12 tournament winner. Now, let's talk. Let me just, for the listeners out here, let me bring up that page. The odds straight out of Las Vegas, Nevada, for the Pac-12. Arizona, heavy favorite at minus 220, meaning you'd have to put 220 hypothetical currency units just to win 100. Utah is plus 280, means you would win 280 hypothetical currency units for wagering 100. Oregon, 9-1. UCLA, 12-1. And the field, any other team in the field, 8.5-1. How do you see this, Keegs? Very interested for your selection starting this evening's show.
Oh, sure. Well, I think Arizona is head and shoulders above everyone else in the Pac-12, and it's not even close. And obviously the odds reflect that. But, yeah, I mean, they're 16-2 in the conference, 28-3 overall. They got a starting five that is, I would say, one of the maybe two or three teams that has a legitimate chance of actually beating Kentucky if they do meet up in the tournament. So I couldn't pick anyone else. You know, obviously the odds are pretty low. So I, just for sport, you know, I'll put some money in on this. I was thinking I put $200 in, so you'd have to do the math. I don't know what that would win me if the odds are negative 220, but
You mean 200 hypothetical currency units, sir?
I will bet 200 HCUs that Arizona will win the tournament. Yep.
You got it, buddy. All right, Keegs is on the books. Arizona, minus 220. It's going to it. So it's going to win you like 90, 95, something like that. All right, let's throw it to Lindell. How do you see this one fold? Not, you know, I could see an Arizona and the field, and that being it, you know, Arizona and the field. But no, they included Utah, Oregon, UCLA. Are you biting on your ducks at 9-1?
Can I place two bets here?
Talk to me. What do you have in mind?
Could I bet 220 on Arizona and then 100 on Oregon?
Yeah, why the hell not? All right, there it is. Arizona.
That's what I want to do.
220, Oregon, 100 hypothetical currency units. I'm going to play around. I got a lot of I'm going to play my strategy differently than last week because I got some making up to do. I'm nobody's Huckleberry here, so I want to get back in the race. I'm going with the field. The field seems like a crazy bet upon first glance, but crazy things sometimes happen in this tournament. You know Arizona's getting into this thing, getting into the big dance easily, obviously. So there's some. I feel like there's another team that's going to have some magical weekend, be it this Cal team. If Cal gets past Arizona, hell, you know, they're as much of a favorite as anybody. So I kind of think it might boil down to that. And then we have the winner of the Stanford-Washington game coming out, and it would also cover Colorado and USC. So give me the field at 8.5-1 for 50 hypothetical currency units. Excellent job, gentlemen. Let's move right along to number two. The ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, one of the most entertaining and talented conferences in college basketball. Let me just make our listeners aware of these lines. We have Duke is plus 150, Virginia plus 200, the field plus 350, Notre Dame plus 800, 8-1, and Louisville at 10-1. Gosh, what a talented group of teams. Lindell, you go first, I'll go second. What do you got on this one?
You know, I'm going to go with the favorite on this one. I think Duke takes it. I'll go 200 on Duke.
Okay. It took me a long time to talk myself out of Duke. That was my default selection as well. I ended up landing with the Virginia Cavaliers. I think they upset them in the final game. I'll take that 2-1 payoff if it does happen, and I'm going to go 100 hypothetical currency units. Keegs, we're throwing it down to you. ACC tourney, how do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. There's 15 teams in the ACC. Syracuse put themselves on the postseason ban, so they're out of it. They're not in the tournament. So 14 teams, seven of those teams have won 20 games. So it's definitely one of the deepest conferences in the country. But I like Duke. I'm with Lindell. I mean, Duke and Virginia are clearly the kind of, you know, head and shoulders. But I'm going to go with Duke. I'm going to put, but you know, it's not good odds here. So I'm going to kind of limit my exposure. I was going to put 100 points or 100 HCUs on it, but I'm going to drop that down to 50.
50 on Duke at plus 150. You got it, buddy.
If I can backtrack just a little bit to talk about that, you mentioned Oregon. I didn't really drop anything knowledge on it. I really do think Oregon has a good chance to take this to take down this tournament. They're battle tested. They've won 9 out of 10 games. You know, Arizona's a bad matchup, but it's, as you said, I could very well easily see Cal beating them. Arizona lost to Oregon State and to Arizona State in the conference, on their conference schedule. I mean, they've proven the ability to lose games that you don't expect them to, you expect them to win. And Oregon's just coming together. They got the coach of the year. They got the player of the year in the conference with Joseph Young. And I really do think it sort of feels, it's reminiscent of a couple other Oregon team squads that I've watched that peaked at the right time and won the Pac-12 tournaments going into the NCAA. So I really do think Oregon has a legit chance. And at plus 900, that's a good flyer.
It sure is, man. It sure is. Okay. I'm not trying to file through this thing. Please understand, take as much time as you like to talk about whatever you like here on episode 2 of season 3 of the California Sports Report. Number 3 out of 7 here, the Sacramento Kings. I don't see a lot of – they won a game tonight. They won a good game tonight against a tough road team. But yeah, as a typical fan, I'm saying I haven't seen quite as much improvement or progress as I would have liked. You know, it would have been nice to see some very substantial change of stats, you know, how much they score, how often they shoot the ball, something increased since George Karl has come aboard, the wonderful coach who obviously knows what he's doing, hasn't quite been able to put his fingerprint on this team yet, and they're giving up, through the first 10 games that he came to town, they're giving up 110 points a game, and that's including a low outlier, giving up 86 points, or holding the Knicks to 86 points. The question here is, between now and next week's show, it appears the Sacramento Kings will play at Philadelphia Friday, at Washington Saturday, and at Atlanta on Tuesday. Okay, you could either pick the Philly game, the Kings against Philly, straight up a pick 'em, pays even, HCUs either way, or what I'm going to go on here for 100 HCUs is, can the Kings hold any of these next three opponents under 100 points? I think at Washington is a cinch for them to get 100. At home against Atlanta, it's going to be very, very difficult to keep the Hawks under 100. So I think it kind of comes down to that Philly game, and I think there's a chance they could beat Philly and still give up 100. That's very, very practical, so, which is why I'm not going them straight up against Philly. So I'm going no. They will not hold any of their next three opponents under 100 points. I wanted to go huge on this one, but it was one of the ones I picked last. I didn't have a lot left in the tank. So 100 currency units, 100 hypotheticals on that one. No. All right, Keegs, how do you see the Kings next week unfolding?
Well, I don't have faith that they can hold anyone under 100 for the rest of the year. So I'm not taking that side. I mean, they're averaging, giving up 105 points per game. 24th in the league out of 30 teams, so they're right near the bottom. Now, that being said, like you mentioned, Philly, if they're going to do it, that's the team that they would hold. But, Philly's averaging only 90 points per game, which is dead last in the league, the worst offense in the league. But they just put up 95, I think it was last night, against Chicago. So Chicago being one of the best defensive teams, I mean, the 100-point barrier should be achievable. But I'm just going to stay away from that whole thing. But I will take them straight up to beat Philly in Philly, and I'll put I'll put 100 on that.
All right, Kings over Philly. Mr. Keegan McNamara putting 100 on that. Where I'm looking at my schedule, it says the lowest ticket price is available, and this end of the year matchup in Philly between two bottom feeders. Tickets are available starting at $2 is what it tells me. So visit my friends over at Ticket Process if you're interested in any ticket for anything. Okay. Lindell, make weigh in on this. Are you going whether or not they can keep a team under triple digits, or are you going them against Philly? What do you got?
No, I'm gonna go. I'm joining Keegs on this one. I think they beat Philly straight up. I mean, if you're a Philly fan, I mean, just the last decade has been rough. It just sort of, there's really no end to it in sight. It's, I mean, I guess you see him, he just keeps adding, they keep adding draft picks and parts and young talent. But I mean, is there a light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, this was a once proud franchise, Dr. J and Iverson, and you know, it's a good sports town. It's just become it's sort of semi tragic out there. But I guess, you know what, Philly fan can deserve on that. If you're gonna boo Santa Claus and throw batteries, they can suck on that.
Yeah. You know, and what's happening to the Eagles? We'll have to make that a topic next week. So, all right. And how many hypothetical currency units, sir?
Just 100.
Just 100. Okay, moving right along here on the California Sports Report. All right, this is a fun one. Violence, a fun one, huh? I didn't mean to put it like that. Will there be punches thrown in an NBA game, pardon me there, between now and the start of the next show, which is obviously 8:30 p.m. Pacific next Wednesday? I don't, you know, this is interesting. I wonder if on any given week, you know, how many times, I guess, I suppose an NBA season would be what, 4, 8, maybe like 31 or 2 weeks. How many times are punches thrown over the season? That's a stat I'd love to know, honestly. I guess that punches are thrown, if you count the instance instead of the players themselves or the amount of punches, just the instances, I'd say they're thrown like maybe like 10 or 12 times a year. So that, thusly, I'm paying out the fellows who are willing to say yes, punches will be thrown, at 3-1, which a group I fall into myself. Give me yes, punches will be thrown in an NBA game, some late season, some fury here. Give me yes for 50 hypothetical currency units. Throw it to Keegan. How do you see it, buddy? Punches?
So we got to define punches, man, because I think you're probably right. There might be 11 or 12 shoving matches or hold me back type fights, but I don't think I've seen a legitimate.
What about a kick to the junk? What about a kick to the junk? Does that count? Does a lying on your back kick to the junk count?
It pays. Yeah, for sure. No, this is my secret to making a comeback here, gentlemen. Keeping outcomes ambiguous.
So are we talking closed fist swing, or are we talking like a shove? Because there's a lot of people shove. I don't see too many punches being thrown.
Anything that happened with involving a closed fist. It doesn't have to land. It doesn't have to anything. It just, you know, some late season, some team out of the running.
How about a suspension-worthy act of violence?
I like that. I like that. And what I was going to say is that
Because that kick would have counted.
The kick would have counted, and what?
Alex Lynn, that ball, on the Suns.
Hassan Whiteside did.
Hassan Whiteside. What Hassan Whiteside did to Kelly Olynyk? Yeah, that would have counted. That would have counted as a punch for sure. For sure. So if that lessens the gray area, I hope it does. But so,
all right. Well, you're the commissioner, so you can make the call. You know, my whole thing is, I don't think it's happening. But if it does happen, I think Phoenix is the chippiest team in the league. They, all these guys are. It seems like they're close to fighting almost every night. And so I was looking at their schedule, saying, well, if that's the chippiest, they're probably not going to. They're playing Atlanta on Friday. Atlanta's too dialed into the playoffs. They're not going to get baited into a fight. But, you know, if something were to happen, they would just. I think any of these teams that are locked into the playoffs are just going to have, you know, too much on the line to risk that. So you got to look at like one of these other bottom dweller teams where they've been losing all season long and guys are pissy, and that's, I think, the recipe for a potential fight. So the Suns play Minnesota on, I guess this is tonight. I don't think this would count, or does it? And then they play the Knicks and New Orleans. So all that being said, I don't think it's going to happen, and I'm going to take I'm going to go pretty heavy on this. I don't think a fight's happening in the next week. I'm going to put 450 of my hypothetical currency units on this bet right here.
You got it, buddy. You got it. This man is playing via. Yeah, I like it. For the record, yeah, if a punch, it reads net from now to the start of the next show. So hypothetically, if a punch is thrown tonight, yeah, that counts. That would satisfy. But you're right; it remains a long shot. Lindell, what side do you fall on here?
You know, I'm gonna follow suit with Keegs again on this one, just because I sort of learned my lesson last week, taking the coach getting fired, which I guess the Knicks are deciding to are gonna keep going, which gives my slim chance of getting to see a player coach in the NBA again, holding out hope with Derek Fisher, to strap on some Reeboks out there and get playing, but. I'm gonna go against it, $100 fake dollars. Even though, you know, a couple other teams that have been chippy all year, or especially recently, is this game we're about to talk about, is the Clippers and Houston coming up. So I mean, if it's gonna happen, I could see it happening there.
Go ahead, man. We're running a little short on time, so let me throw it right back to you there. In Charlotte, let's call it a pick 'em. Houston at the Clippers this Sunday, the biggest game of the day, gonna be tipping off at 3:30. Local time where you are. Clippers will be playing. I think Clippers play on Friday night in Dallas, and Houston plays tomorrow night on a back-to-back, and they have a couple days off. So it's one of those deals where the visiting team will be in town before the home team is. So that might factor in. But how do you see it, bud?
You know, that was a nice win by the Clippers tonight against Oklahoma City. A big one knocked Oklahoma City out of that eighth spot, at least temporarily, for the Western Conference playoffs. But I'm just not impressed with this Clippers team without Blake Griffin. They don't have the depth. You know, they sort of gave up on that game last Sunday against the Warriors. I don't know if you guys watched that, but
yeah.
It was a strange game, and they really seemed to just give up at the end. Austin Rivers played like 38 minutes. You know, they pulled it within eight with 2.5 minutes left, and then never even looked at the possibility of putting the starters back in. Strange game. I don't see it. I take Houston in that. Too much beard.
I like it. I'm on the board with that as well. I'm also taking Houston. How much are you laying on it?
I'll do what I got left here. I'll do 180 to get back to an even number there.
Okie doke. I'm going Houston. Pick them for 150. Are we all, is it unanimous, Keegan, or are you going with your Clippers?
No, I'm gonna make it interesting here. Blake Griffin will probably be back for Sunday. He's been out, as you guys know, with an elbow injury. I read Doc Martin just said he'll be back soon, so maybe not. If not on Friday, then probably Sunday. But yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of a coin toss. It's hard to make this call, so I'm gonna go with the Clippers, but I'm gonna go low dollar. I don't want to go too, so I'm just going to keep it at 50 HCUs on this one.
You got it. All right, the 49ers in a endless tailspin of sorrow. I could talk a whole show about this, but it's been bad. Talk about this winning with class thing, and they run Harbaugh out of there because he didn't win with class, which is just such a bizarre statement given what has happened since. And they signed Darnell Dockett, who, when you look up class in the NFL, I don't think he's at the top of the list. And then they get Jerome Simpson, a guy who's been arrested 3 times since he came into the pros, and fullback Bruce Miller beat up his wife last weekend. So, yay, what class these guys are demonstrating. But the question here is, with a lot of free agents left out there, and them obviously in need of upgrading the running back position with the departure of Gore, I held out hope that they would get Ryan Matthews. I mean, that's where we're at this point. I'm holding out hope that they'd get Ryan Matthews. But, he went elsewhere. So the question is,
sad state of affairs. Well, very, very sad.
Sure is. Will the 49ers nab a quote-unquote eyebrow raising? That's the standard for this one. Eyebrow raising. Free agent before next week's show. Give me yes, they will. An even payoff here. This is my biggest one of the week. I'm going, yes, the Niners will get a nice free agent the next week for 250 HCUs. We'll throw it to Lindell next. What do you think, buddy?
I mean, it sort of depends on your definition of eyebrow raising. Like, like eyebrow raising, like all of a sudden, they get Murray in to take Gore's spot, or eyebrow raising, like this guy here is dead. I think they're not bringing any superstars in. It's funny, they're also supposedly kicking the tires on Greg Hardy, who honestly I would love to see in a Niners uniform. But it goes against, as you said, everything that they've said in the last 2 months since the Harbaugh shoe fell. It's an unmitigated dumpster fire out there in Santa Clara. And no, I don't think so. There's no money. There's no sort of leadership. There's no. It doesn't seem like there's much of a plan in place. I'm going to say no. I'll do 100. HCUs. No.
So you're at 4-5. All right, you got it. Keegs, this might be kind of like throwing a dart in the wind for you, but I'm sure you've heard about what's going on. Where do you land on this?
Well, I didn't know that Ryan Matthews signed with the Eagles until you just mentioned that. I'm certainly not nearly as big a football fan as you guys, but I do follow the Chargers, and that was news to me, so that's too bad on our end, but... Yeah, in terms of the Niners, I'm going low value. I'm just going to put HCU, 50 HCUs, and say no. I don't see it happening.
Okay, perfect. All right. All they got to do is sign one goddamn free agent. I could skew this to my victory here. Okay. No, I shouldn't. I shouldn't joke around. I'm going to keep it as legitimate as possible. We're having fun here on the California Sports Report with a good 5 minutes left. Perfect. And here we are at the last one. Golf this weekend, okay? We went all the way down to Puerto Rico last weekend, and we compared who would do better, John Daly or David Duval. I'll be damned, guys. They both had a pretty damn good weekend. This week we're going to the Valspar Open. This is people – a lot of guys take this weekend off, but there is still a very talented field. Sent these guys the Vegas odds. What I asked them to do is predict a player that will be in the top five, finish in the top five. So based on what Vegas has given, the odds have given each player to win the tournament, we'll simply divide that by five, and that'll be the payoff. Now, Lindell, you chuckled. You hadn't heard of this guy. Jordan Spieth. I was telling you, dude. I mean, I was tripping a little bit. I'm talking about top 10 golfers of all time. But he'll definitely be the top 10 golfer of the modern era, you know, of current players. Very soon, if he isn't already. And you can see he's second only to Adam Scott going into this one, ahead of guys such as Henrik Stenson, Jim Furyk, Matt Kuchar, Luke Donald, and Brent Snedeker. So, I really sunk my teeth into this one. I'm going to go third. Let's throw it to Keegs first, who's a bit out of his element on the PGA Tour as well, but we'll probably figure out a way to best us both. What do you got, buddy?
So I think I got, by my count, I got 100 HCUs left to bet. You're right. I don't know half the names on this list. But but Adam Scott is the favorite, 10-1. So you divide that by 5, pays 2-1. I'll throw my last 100 on the favorite at 2-1.
And this is why he was beating our heinies last week.
we can't resist
the long shots. We've got a problem, you and I. He's no dummy.
Yeah, this show season 3 could end up being one huge intervention. You're right. He's showing us how it's done. What you looked at this board, Lindell? I bet you're going to come up with something that from the lower half. Am I right about that?
No, you know, I'm sort of in the middle here. I'm going with my boy Brent Snedeker, out of Nashville. I just like him. I like him to place, and also as I said, you know, I'm trying to learn as we go here. And so, as much as I want to drop a Tall Towel III and make, you know, or a Brent. Ooh, wait a minute, Brendan DeJong is looking good at No. I'm not, because you know what. Long shots are great, but they don't hit. There's a reason they're long shots. I'm going Snedeker before I talk myself into DeJong. And I'll go whatever I got left.
Go with your gut. Let's see. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold up, dude. Have you already spent all G? Well, I got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You've already spent it all. Yeah, because you went with Oregon for okay. an additional. So what are we doing here? What, are we? Are you scratching
Let
Oregon?
Me,
are you? You can knock Houston down the way.
I'd rather scratch. You know what? I'll scratch Arizona. I got Oregon all the way. Fuck catching my bets. I got Oregon.
Ooh, you're gonna regret that.
So Snedeker for the 220 you had on Arizona.
Exactly right.
That's what okay. I like it, dude. I like it. That last minute Maverick move. I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth. How could I not? I already set this up for 200 hypothetical currency units. When you deduct his odds at 13-1 by 5, you get plus 260. I'll take that all day. And then I love a good long shot, and they do hit. Okay, they do hit at times. talk to me about Giacomo in the 2005 Kentucky Derby, Retief Goosen in the 2001 U.S. Open. I've had a bunch. Cameron Tringali from the very bottom of the league. You like that? You like that? He's there right with Retief Goosen at 120-1. So you chop that by 5, and I'm going to take my last 100 HCUs on Cameron Tringali to finish in the top 5 at this weekend's Valspar Open at 24-1. You guys understand what that can do for me? You understand? I could be in the catbird seat overnight if my boy Cameron Tringali does what I think he might. Oh, that's been a quick 30 minutes, 31. We got another 2 minutes, so anything, any last words here, gentlemen? You've entertained myself and the audience once again. We got a lot on the line here, a lot of things going down. We got something going down Saturday, Sunday, and a lot of things going down throughout the entire week. Lindell, any last words?
No, I'm good. I just found out that some guy made $250,000 last year by impersonating Alan from The Hangover. I think next week, I may have be earning a living on it in a new way.
And it's all totally legal and legit and everything.
Yep.
I love it, dude. Yeah, you do it. Do it. Keegan, thanks as always, buddy, for making time. And,
absolutely.
And we obviously have differing strategies. Yeah, Lindell and I are kind of more, fly by the seat of our pants, Yosemite Sam-like, and Keegan is that prodding, methodical investor type, buddy. Thanks again, man. It's been fun, guys. On behalf of my two co-hosts here, I'm Sky Dickinson. It's the California Sports Report, and it's all new format. Hope you're enjoying it as much as we are enjoying doing it. And we will be back next Wednesday with a whole lot more to talk about. Till then, good night.